Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
And on this peace, this second Sunday of Advent, the Peace Sunday, we are looking for ways that we can become people of peace. How is God with us in that peace? How do we know of God? How can we see God? Last week in our first Sunday of Hope, we talked about the ways that God was with us through those struggles, through those times of heartache. And this week, as we are looking at it, we're going to find out how God is with us through our conflict, how God is bringing peace to everything that we do, how those things that were promised are coming true, and how those things that we have been waiting for, like we talked about last week, they're finally coming to see the fruit of those things. So we're going to read from Romans 15, and I know it won't be on the screen. I apologize for that, but you can listen to it, and you can absorb it, and you'll just have a new way to interact with it. Romans 15, 1 through 13, it says this: "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and, moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God of his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Will you pray with me? God, this morning, as you have illuminated your text in our ears, bring it to our hearts, bring it to our hands, bring it to our lips, that we can embody the things that you say here, that we can be a people known for these words. In your Son, we pray. Amen. God with us in our waiting. We talked about the hope that comes in Advent. This week, we're going to talk about God with us in our conflict, the peace that comes in Christ as we are people of Advent, as we grow from that, as we cherish one another. What Paul is writing about here is really the triumph of Romans. What Paul is focusing on is this conflict. This is the whole reason that he wrote to the church in Rome in the first place. The conflict between Jew and Gentile. Paul is trying to make the point that, guess what? Christ has come and is going to rule over all of us. And then he does a bunch of quotes there at the end. Rejoice, you Gentiles. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. The word Gentile in the Greek means nation. That's all it means there. So whenever we see the word Gentile, we're always working from a place of a non-Jewish person. You're going to rule over the Jews, and you're going to rule over all of the nations. We have a community that is strained by this difference. The conflict in Rome is that the Jews and the Gentiles, and Paul writes, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So Paul is saying there are some people who are strong. There are some people who are believing that they can point through the ways of the other people. So those are some people that are strong. There are some that are weak. And both groups are judging the others. So this is not a theoretical disagreement between people. This is not a way for them to say, well, this is the way we understand it. This is the way that we look at it. The Roman church are people waiting for Christ's return. They believe that this return is going to be imminent, but it reveals the fractures that come from that. The prayer of the church is, come, Lord Jesus. And Paul's reality is, we're having trouble being the people he's coming for. So Advent complicates this conflict because waiting exposes these impatient things. Longing exposes these differences that people are going through. Hope exposes the fear. Anticipation exposes the tension that we have. Before Christ is revealed to the nations, Paul is writing that Christ must be revealed in the community itself, the community of believers. Advent reveals what conflict is trying to hide. That we need Christ to come, not only into the world, but into the ways we treat each other. We long for Christ, but we do not yet live like him. And so here is what the tension is brewing in them. Paul doesn't tell them that they need to correct each other, right? He doesn't look at this conflict and say, you need to correct each other. You need to tell each other how this you think the other person should be living. He tells them to carry each other. So in the conflict that they're having with each other, he asks that the strong ones bear with the weak ones. He says those who are not having trouble with this, those who have seen Christ, those who know Christ, those who are developing this in the community, those who are believing this, bear with the ones who can't do it yet. Bear with those ones who need help here. Bear with is the language of shared burdens. It's not about winning a debate. It's not about one-upping someone. It's so deeply relational. And so Paul says each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. And it's not people-pleasing. You see? It's not just to please someone. It's not to make them feel good. But this is the ancient art of neighbor blessing. The Hebrew idea of seeking the shalom of the others, even when the other is difficult or confusing or inconvenient. Conflict becomes this destructive moment when we prioritize being right over being a neighbor. And so Paul says even Christ didn't please himself. Christ did not use his strength for himself. Christ did not demand his preferences be met. Christ did not come to be served. And instead, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Christ stepped into the hostility of others and absorbed the weight of their conflict. The strongest person in the room is the one who's willing to carry what isn't theirs. The church is fractured because nobody wants to carry the weight of the other person. Everyone wants to please themselves. No one wants to become Christ-like in conflict. But look at our world. We can look at the fractured church. We can look at the church in Rome. We can look at Paul's church. But we can look at our world also. People want a silent night Christmas. But we live in a Romans 15 world, don't we? Fractured families, polarized workplaces, internal tensions, exhausted relationships, emotional thinness, competing expectations, short tempers, holiday stress. Advent is not a sentimental season. It's a season that helps us acknowledge that the world is not at peace, and we can't pretend that it is. We need God with us. We need Emmanuel, precisely because we do not have peace with us. Advent doesn't hide conflict. Advent names it so Christ can enter into it. If we run from it, if we say, you know what, I've got all the peace of the season that I need. We need Advent to shine that light into us and say, how can Christ come into this? Now, we don't lack the desire for unity. That's not the thing that's on the table here. That's not what Paul is expressing to us. What we lack really is energy. We lack patience. We lack wisdom to pursue it. Why is that? I think it's because bearing with the weak is so costly for us. I think for us to slow down and be patient and bear with each other's weaknesses is very costly. It costs emotional energy. It costs time. It costs comfort. It costs the need, to be right. It costs the desire to be understood first. Conflict is rarely about one issue. It's about the weight we don't want to carry. It's about all these things layered together to say, well, I'm not really ready to step out in that yet. A spouse's weakness feels heavy. A coworker's personality feels exhausting. A family member's anxiety feels draining. A church member's preferences feel frustrating. A friend's immaturity feels time-consuming. And so add to that past wounds, inherited habits, busy schedules, low emotional bandwidth, unresolved grief, unspoken expectations, and suddenly conflict becomes inevitable. I think there's a deeper issue here as well. We don't carry other people's burdens because nobody carries ours. And so when we're stuck carrying our own and then trying to pile on everyone else's stuff on top of that, it doesn't seem fair, does it? And of course, conflict is going to arise. Of course, conflict is going to show up because we're so tired. We don't have the energy to do it anymore. We're people that struggle to find our way to do that. So instead, we've learned to defend ourselves, to withdraw, to self-protect, to survive, to out-argue another person, to avoid other people, not to carry burdens with them, but to avoid them altogether. And this is why Paul says we need endurance and encouragement from God. Human endurance is too thin for relational conflict. God's endurance is not. And so when we're seeking peace, when we're looking for God with us in our peace, we're looking for this moment of how can I endure? How can I be an encouragement to people around me? Christ enters our conflict and rewrites the story as people of God. Paul says that Christ bore the insults for us. He carried what was not his, did not please himself, fulfilled the story Israel was waiting for, brought Gentiles into the promises. That's Advent. Christ enters the story before it's ready. Christ enters the conflict before it's resolved. Christ enters the hostility before peace is ever possible. God comes not to a united world, but to a divided one. Not to a prepared world, but to a conflicted one. Not to a peaceful people, but to fractured communities. Advent is God saying, I will not wait for conditions to improve. I will come into your conflict myself. And Christ doesn't flee conflict. Christ inhabits it. That's incarnation. That's what Advent means. For Christ to come and embody our conflict, our fracturedness, our broken relationships, our avoidance, so that there can be peace in our lives, so that there can be peace in our relationships and in our world. Christ does for us what we refuse to do for each other. God shapes us through Scripture into a community capable of endurance. See, Scripture is not information, but it is formation. It trains us to endure one another and to encourage one another and hope for one another. Scripture isn't a textbook. It's a training ground for relationships. It tells us how we can love God. It tells us how we can love others. That's the whole of Scripture. Jesus says, what's the number one commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. That's great. How do we do that? Boom. Here are the Scriptures. Here's how we live at peace and harmony with the people around us. And you just thought that it was a textbook. You thought it was an answer book where if we have a problem in our world, we just throw out a verse and we say, here we go. Here's how we fix ourselves. But the Bible is a relational tool. It shows up in our world so that we don't have the answers to everything, but at least we know how to love God and we know how to love people. Because the entirety of the Scriptures point back to that. Here's how to love God well. Here's how to love people well. Or, on the other hand, we can say, here's Scriptures that we can just sprinkle through our lives. Here's ways that we can weaponize Scripture to hurt other people. And Paul does not tell us to do that. He does not say, throw the Scriptures in their face. If they're weak and you're fighting with them, throw Scriptures in their face so they believe you. Maybe read the Bible a little bit more to them and they'll finally get it. No. Paul says, bear with them. Paul says, hold them closer. Paul says, use the peace of Christ and the love and the hope and the endurance and the encouragement that the one true Savior of the world has given to us so that you may hold them closer, so that your relationships may not be fractured. God creates harmony. We don't manufacture that. We don't get more harmony. We don't wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to be more harmonious with the world. But harmony is not created by agreement or similarity or compatibility or conflict resolution techniques. Harmony is what happens when God reshapes a community through Christ. Our job is availability. God's job is transformation. Verse 7, I think, is showing us that Christ's welcome becomes the model for ours. Welcome one another just as Christ welcomed you. It doesn't say, welcome one another once they mature. Welcome one another once they agree. Welcome one another once they apologize. Oh, here's one I wish he would have wrote in. welcome one another once they see things your way. Welcome first, because Christ welcomed you, and transformation follows. This is the radical grace of Christ. And this is something that this church has been working to do as long as I can remember. That our vision doesn't rely on Bible studies. It relies on tables. It relies on one-on-one relationships being built in the community with people around you, in your life. Inviting them to coffee, inviting them into your home for a meal. And you don't invite them in because you agree with them. You don't invite them in because they see things your way. You don't invite them in because they're mature and they deserve a good meal. You invite them in because Christ invited you in. And we have to know that God's story always includes those people we resist. Paul does this really important thing here. He quotes Psalm, and he quotes Isaiah, he quotes Deuteronomy. We read that line in Isaiah this morning, in Isaiah 11. Paul shows that people we struggle with are people God has already written into his story. He placed them right there in the middle of that conflict and said, look, you're going to hold this thing for them until they're ready. God's plan is more inclusive than our preferences. The Messiah is born into a conflicted world to bring together those who do not belong together. He comes into the world before the world is fixed. And so through that, through this Advent life, through this Advent peace, God forms Christ in us through the conflict we cannot avoid. We can't wake up and avoid conflict. We can't do it. And so how are we then using our conflict as if Christ has been with us, as if God has been with us in our conflict? Christ carries what we cannot carry, so we don't face conflict empty-handed. Our instinct is to ask, why doesn't God remove the conflict? But Scripture answers, because God is using the conflict to form you. Endurance, wisdom, compassion, humility, patience, welcome. They don't grow in ease. They grow in conflict. Conflict is not the obstacle to Christ-likeness. It is the curriculum. And God with us means God teaches us to carry one another. God with us means that he is carrying us in the things that we have, bearing our burdens with us. And that should teach us then to reach out to those around us and carry their burdens as well. Advent is God coming down, taking on the weakness we cannot lift, carrying the burdens we cannot bear, so we can carry each other. And when we do that, we are living in Advent. We are living in that time before Christ comes. But to say, how can I create peace in your life? I think welcome then becomes the new way of being human. If we live into this God with us mentality, this God has borne our conflict. The world teaches us to win, but Christ teaches us to welcome. Victory belongs to the strong. And we all want to be strong. We all want to be victorious. But that's not what we're called to. Christ has called us to welcome those weaker than us. When we welcome the difficult, we become like Jesus. When we welcome the inconvenient, we become like Jesus. When we welcome the weak, we become like Jesus. Oh, one final thing I want to point out, the tone of all of this. Paul doesn't say, try harder. Just get along. It's fine. Stop your fighting. His final note is, may the God of hope fill you. His prayer for the people and the church at Rome was, may God fill you. Peace is the gift God gives communities willing to let him reshape them in conflict. May the God of hope fill you. That is our prayer this morning.